This podcast is brought to you by Money Control.
Hello and welcome to the special podcast on PMS Scheme and AIF powered by Money Control. Well, we are on the sidelines of PMSBazaar.com and today I have with me Shailendra Kumar of Narnolia Financial Advisors. Well, Shailendra sir, welcome to the podcast. And first I want to ask you, how's the journey it has been for you as well as for the industry, and what does the future looks like for the PMS?
Hi Jitin. For me on my organization, we are doing the PMS for last 7 years now. We started in 2012 March. If you look at the industry, you know, there is one trend which is very noticeable, that the proportion of individual investor investing directly into the equity market has fallen. So what has happened? Overall investment, if you look at of individual investor, it has gone up. But now they prefer to go through institutional route instead of going directly to the market. And that is a very subtle change. So if I look at in terms of percentage, in last 5-6 years, there has been 10% extra investment into the market through supervision kind of a route. So either through a mutual fund or through a PMS. So that's the kind of phenomenal growth this industry is having, and which is very understandable. So gone are the days, say 10-15 years back, where the equity market, particularly among all the financial market, were known more for a speculative kind of instinct. So you used to come here for doubling or tripling, and you know, kind of a speculative instinct was very high. Now people have understood the equity market and they understand this is a platform to do long-term investment and wealth creation. It's not a something for 6 months, 3 months kind of a, which is a very welcome change for the industry. Industry for sure is maturing. Investors are maturing. This is more important in the media and at this platform like PMS AIF event. It's a very positive step in the direction. So this kind of a method through which you try to do investment through supervisory mode, so you rely upon some fund manager to get your money deployed in the market, is a very positive step. The journey is, I think, we have still not gone much through, the depth still is there, required to be there. We have hardly touched couple of few percentage points. Indian itself in the financial savings is very small. And this equity market savings are even more smaller. So very high room for growth of the industry. Which is there. So it's a very exciting journey from here on also in future.
Perfect. Shailendra, next question I want to put across is definitely we are in equity markets and we can't let you go without asking one question. You know, how, if you look at the parameters at this point in time, both macro as well as micro indicators are not in sync. In fact, they are in fact deteriorating by the month. And what should be the investment strategy, let's say, for an investor at this point in time?
Very, very important question, Chitish, I would say. First thing that to keep in mind is, like, you know, things move in cycle. Financial cycle, whether you look at the interest rate cycle, you look at inflation cycle, you look at credit cycle, you look at consumption cycle, everything moves in cycle. And we know cycle means what? A downswing and an upswing. So one thing to keep in mind is for sure the first thing, was the first principle basis is, like, we are in downswing right now. So next swing has to be an upswing. Now from where it will make a bottom is the only question which we need to discuss. But we should not think, we should not extrapolate the current set of information for time infinity. So like when the things are good, you interpret things in a perpetuity. So permanently it will be good, right? So that's never the case. So this down cycle will end. When it will end? How much more pain is there is the only question. Now look at various cycles. The interest rate cycle was 8% plus 10-year bond in last August. Now it's close to 6-6.5%. So interest rate cycle has peaked. Now look at in terms of, you know, NPA. My own sense is FY18 overall banking sector NPA was almost 11.5%. Then we fell to 9.8%. FY20 would be close to, you know, 10%. It will not be going and making newer high. So even the NPA cycle has tapered. You know why the noise is this much? Because in the initial phase of NPA cycle between 2013 and 14 and 17, it was the larger corporate with a huge amount going NPA. So the number of accounts were small, but the extent of value of those numbers were very large. But today what is happening, number of borrower going NPA is very, very high, but the amount that is going NPA is becoming very, very small. So the overall NPA, system-wise NPA in terms of amount, which is more important, is continuously coming down. It's not going up. We are like, we extrapolate a lot of noise, right? But that's the reality. Look at it this way. 2014, when the NPA started, that time the total lending book of Indian banks was close to 665 lakh crore. Out of 65 lakh crore, almost 18-19 lakh crore became NPA. Now today, we are sitting at 100 lakh crore of advances by total bank, and the slippages are like, what, 1.5 lakh crore, 2 lakh crore, which is not meaningfully high. So NPA was there in 14 and 15, 16 and 17. Post 17, it has started tapering, and now surely we have tapered. So the noise will be there, because number of cases are high, but the value is coming down, our banking system will easily get through. So the NPA cycle also has peaked, right? Now the problem is in the consumption and the credit cycle. My own sense is, you know, with the all kind of measure by the government and all, the credit cycle will revive and the consumption cycle will revive. It will take another a quarter or three quarters. Depends upon, there are always a lot of moving parts, global scenario, global macro, a lot of things, because the last mile improvement comes through sentiment, and sentiment is not a science, it's an art, and it can change because of n number of things, right? But one thing is sure, this down cycle, a lot of basic economics are now bottoming out. GDP growth has come down to 5%. Take the worst case forecast, no one is talking 4%. Our population itself is growing at 1.5%. The urbanization and the nuclearization of family means normal basic consumption growth would be 3%, right? Over and above the kind of economy, the size of economy, per capita income where we are today, the delta is much, much higher on the big side. So we have already come closer to the bottom where the worst can happen. So cycle will turn from here. It's a matter of bit of a timing. I think take a quarter or three quarter at the max side and things will turn up in every economic parameter.
I think news on the NPA that it is bottoming out, and in fact growth is bottoming out, that is some good news coming in for Shailendra and for the equity investors as well. Now another thing which I want to put across is I'm also a mutual fund investor, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners are also, they're also invested in equity markets by the mutual fund route. And, over a period of time, we have seen that the SIP investment has only grown, and which is definitely a positive sign for our markets as well. So just to bring distinction, how different is PMS, let's say, for the mutual fund investors?
So surely, see, there are two parts of it. Like a lot of mutual fund participation has gone up, which is a very positive and encouraging sign. Today, the retail investor, SIP investor, the value cumulative for a year is almost 1 lakh crore. That means your market, in a worst case scenario, can absorb 1 lakh crore of selling by FII. So now today we can say Indians are much more stronger than even the FII forces in the market. So with all the negative news around, market has not fallen much. And that's the power of a common Indian. They can face a foreigner selling spree. I'm not saying in terms of anti-something or pro-Indian something, but that's the economic reality of the market today. See, PMS fits into a little different asset class. It's a supervised investment. You got a fund manager who takes decision on behalf of you. One-to-one interaction with the fund manager in case of a PMS, because ticket size is very large. A mutual fund manager can go to a public forum and can speak something. But for them to meet a lakh of their clients across the length and breadth of the country is not easy. So the kind of conviction you require in holding your portfolio is much, much higher in your case of the PMS, because you have a very direct access to the fund manager and his team to know their philosophy, the thesis why they have picked their stock, to understand his economic thesis, which is not easily available. So that's one difference in a PMS and a mutual fund. Plus, particularly those who are high net worth individual who wants, when they are investing, they want more knowledge around why the investment into a particular company, why this much weightage in a particular stock. So their need is not easily getting fulfilled in a mutual fund environment. Second part is, in a mutual fund environment, you get an NAV of a fund. You don't have a direct ownership of the stocks that is there inside the fund. In a portfolio management services, you have a direct ownership. So only decision has been outsourced to a fund manager. The custodianship of those security remains with you. It's in your name. The dividend comes directly in your bank account. So the HNI investors who want that kind of a services surely has a better chance to be in a PMS. Plus, mutual funds, you have a lot of kind of a very compartmentalized but vanilla product. You don't have a specific customer's requirement, so like customization of portfolio for a particular investor is much, much higher, and degree of freedom, you can call it. You can make n number of variation depending upon client's own risk appetite and etc., which is not easily available for a mutual fund investor. So this is its own, but both has its own space. A vast majority of retail investor, mutual fund is a very cost effective, very simple way of investing to the financial market. So that will grow big time. My own sense is, right now you have 100 lakh crore, 125 lakh crore of bank deposits, but mutual fund overall AUM is 27 lakh crore. So mutual fund today is almost 20% of what bank deposit is. Right. I think another 20-30 year story, this number will be very similar. So if the bank deposit from here will grow by 5-7% and it becomes, say, 250 lakh crore in 15 years, the mutual fund AUM will grow from 27 lakh crore to 270 lakh crore. So matching the bank. So that kind of a scope is there. And I think this is a field people are, you know, encouragingly coming to the market. So those are the direction in which things are moving.
That's a very good rationale that you've given to us and to the listeners as well. Now, the next question I want to, you know, shift it from PMS to a little bit around sectors. You've been in the industry for more than a decade, I'm sure. And you know, what is the kind of shift that you've seen in, especially in the last 2 years? You know, has there been a sector which has started outperforming, which have been underperforming? And what are the sectors to watch out for, let's say, for 2020 and 2021?
If you look at the last 2 year market, what has happened in the market is like, you know, there were a lot of, see, the genesis starts from where? When the interest rate started going up. So 2017, June, you had a 6.2% kind of a 10-year bond yield. It went up to 8.5%. The system-wide liquidity in banking system was in a surplus all through 14, 15, 16. 17, it became very tight. Towards 18, it was in deficit for almost 6, 7 months. So that kind of a brunt every corporate faced. So SME owner, MSME owner, or a listed space company also, they all have felt that pain of, you know, tightening in interest rate, stuff like that, and slowing down in general. Areas which has underperformed big time. Once the India starts signing again, when the cycle turns in terms of GDP growth, the kind of sector, or specifically coming to sector, you know, particularly, look at credit. Credit penetration in India is still only 60% of GDP. Now, tech, we are the third largest economy of the world in terms of PPP. In terms of nominal GDP, we are the sixth largest economy. The other five who are ahead of us, you know, there the credit is almost 100%. So once you say once you become aspirational that India economy will grow even larger, will become third largest, every parameter has to match with that kind of a journey, right? So your credit penetration has to go. So if 5 years, if you think in terms of, you know, we becoming third largest economy in terms of nominal GDP, our credit potential is so high that from 60% of GDP, it has to go to 100%. And already you are at $3 trillion. So 3 to 5 means 1.8 to almost 5 trillion in terms of credit expansion. So credit is one area I'm very, very bullish about. The whole of banking space, whether retail lenders or the corporate lender. Because corporate lender, as I said, NPA cycle has topped out. That simply means that even corporate lender will do a lot well. So that's an area I'm very positive about. The second is consumer discretionary space. Whenever the consumption cycle turns, so when the consumption cycle is bad, the stocks of staples do very well, the FMCG and all, which is doing there right now also. But once the cycle will turn, the discretionary space, your auto space, your media space, your movie space, so all the discretionary spending, so that's the first thing which catches up when the economy turns positive. So those are the spaces somebody should be, you know, looking for in terms of 2020 investment.
Perfect. And the last question that I want to put across, Shalendra, is that, you know, if somebody is planning to, let's say, move over from mutual fund to PMS, there is one news which is doing the round. Definitely, it's a source-based information. It is not confirmed. But SEBI might be looking at increasing the investment limit into PMS from 25 lakhs to 50 lakhs. Now, yes, it is going to be a change for the investment and a little setback for the ones who want to invest in this kind of a theme-based product. So, do you think that this is something which will be a headwind for the PMS industry?
See, I just said PMS is a HNI product and 25 lakh investment doesn't fall into a standard HNI category, right? I don't have exact industry number, but if I look at my own PMS, the average ticket size of an investor into the PMS is upward of 1 crore. So 25 lakh is like a kind of a threshold you have to enter into PMS. But usually, I think most of the portfolio manager were there in PMS industry, the average AUM per client is more than 1 crore. So I don't think there will be a material change in terms of this change. SEBI, while taking this decision, has surely gone through in a positive manner, understanding what the industry is. So I don't think there will be any major change. For a retail investor, mutual fund is perfectly okay vehicle. It's just because of PMS will give some extra leeway for them. There's no point because that's not the advantage. The kind of flexibility which is needed in terms of product structuring is purely an HNI product. It's not a retail product. So that this threshold, I think, is not that material, I would say.
And now a word on a subscription product. Money Control Pro offers curated market data, independent equity analysis, exclusive trading recommendations, and actionable investment ideas to subscribers. In the Great Diwali discount offer, you can get access to Money Control Pro for as little as Rs. 289 for a year. Use code Diwali. The offer is valid on the web and Android devices. For more information, check out the Money Control website or mobile app.
Thanks a lot for your time, Shalendra, and thanks a lot, listeners, for tuning into this podcast. Well, stay tuned to moneycontrol.com for more news, views, and analysis.